Acts 24 and verses 22. So if you've got a church Bible, page 1122. And it says this: Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias the commander comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered that the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because of Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Well, let me just give you some background. The rest of that chapter, you must listen to Lloyd's sermon from last week. But Felix is a governor, and he has presided over a trial where Paul is the defendant. And this trial can best be described as a mock trial, a kangaroo court. And in verse 22, we've heard all the evidence, and we now expect the verdict, the judgment. Is he guilty of the charges brought against him by the Jews? Well, sadly, verse 22, we must wait. Because in verse 22, we hear that Felix adjourns the case. And he adjourns the case well beyond what is reasonable. He adjourns it beyond 2 years, we read in verse 27. That's unheard of even in those times. Can I make this clear? The decision is simple for Felix. This decision is simple. He, Paul, should be released. He should be acquitted. He has done nothing wrong. He's broken no law. The only thing he's done is believe and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. So this waiting must be torturous. I've picked up one of Tim's burnt books, and it is of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I can't wait to get reading this. And he was a German citizen who left Germany under Nazi oppression, but returned when Hitler was at his worst. And sadly, he died in a concentration camp for his faith. And we read this. Let me just give you a flavor of what Dietrich and what Paul would have experienced in a cell. The formalities of admission were correctly completed. For the first night, I was locked into an admission cell. The blankets on the bed exuded such a bestial smell that in spite of the cold, it was impossible to use them. The next morning, a piece of bread was thrown into my cell. I had to pick it up from the floor. A quarter of the coffee consisted of grounds. The sound of the warders' vile abuse of the prisoners penetrated into my cell for the first time. Since then, I have heard it every day from morning to night. On parade, all the new arrivals were addressed by one of the warders as scoundrels. We were all asked the reason for our detention. I said that I did not know why I was detained. The warder laughed scornfully and said, You'll find out soon enough. It was 6 months before a warrant for my arrest arrived. You can imagine, can't you? The torture of waiting in a cell. And here Paul and there have been others like Richard von Brandt and Terry Waite and others who've gone and followed suit. But what's encouraging here is that Paul doesn't break. He could easily have abandoned his faith in Jesus under such oppression. He could have fixed the bribe for Felix, as verse 26 suggests. But he doesn't, and he remains steadfast. Instead, he remains in good form, and he takes the opportunity to testify about his faith in Jesus. He gets a private audience with Felix, and nowadays we call that judge in chambers, a much honored invite. Well, I've given you the background, but let me ask you some questions now, which may lead you to think that there is more to this passage. Which one of these gentlemen is most honored? Felix is the governor, a high-ranking official. Surely he must be the most honored. And yet, he craves an audience with Paul. What does Paul have that Felix does not have? I've just described to you, judge in chambers, it is a most honored thing. Felix, unbeknown to him, is honoring Paul, doesn't he? God chooses the weak things to shame the strong. Let me ask you another question. Which one is content with his lot in life? Felix is one with power, who had wealth, servants, probably camels and horses and the like. But was he content? Why is Felix looking for a bribe? He's clearly wanting more. And again, I'm led to believe that Paul is the one who is content with his lot in life. He is stuck behind four walls, and yet he knows he will be richly rewarded in heaven. Can you start to see now the irony in this passage? Let me give you another question which will lead you to think this is clearly ironic. Which one of the two stands condemned? Is it Paul, the defendant in the dock, in his cell awaiting a verdict? Or is it Felix, the judge? Well, surprisingly, it is Felix. Because in verse 25, we read that he is condemned. He can't stand that Paul should preach to him. Paul famously says, doesn't he, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Yes, he's a defendant, but he's not condemned. He has a faith in Jesus, a faith that Felix sadly does not have. What is the issue here then? Why is Felix condemned? Well, it's an issue of repentance. Jesus himself in Mark 1:16 says, "Repent and believe the good news." And for those who don't know what repentance is, it's turning away from your sinful life, the things you do, and is turning towards God and following God. I should say, that's the title. I'll come to that in a moment. Felix is curious, and his ears may have tingled, and he meets Paul to investigate it further. But sadly, that curiosity is not good enough. He lacks repentance. You may acknowledge that Jesus is good. You may acknowledge that Jesus existed. You may think there's a lot good with the Bible and God, but unless you repent of your sinful past and your ways, you cannot then follow him. It reminds me of the times when I've been traveling on the M6 and the lorries and the buses, they obscure the signs because I'm hurtling past them. And then I miss my turning. And I'm heading to the north, or I'm heading to the south. And instead of getting to my destination, I'm getting further away from my destination. Felix here is drifting dangerously away from the kingdom. Paul is there signposting him to the truth about Jesus. But Felix stubbornly delays, and it will cost him his life. He will go hurtling towards destruction. He and you and myself, we only have a limited opportunity to repent. Do not delay. Jesus warns, even through the narrow gate, we must enter. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What exactly did Paul say that spoilt this curiosity in Felix? Well, he said nothing but the truth, it seems. Look at verse 24 and 25. You have Felix and Drusilla. They come, they have this private audience. And then Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Sore subjects for Felix. This is a judge who secretly accepts bribes. He does not want to contemplate the righteousness of God. To be told that there is righteousness and that it can only be found in Jesus in his purity. To be told that a man once lived and lived a blameless life. You might be offended by this. To be told that you are wrong and God is right. I remember in Chester when I had a friend in Chester who said to me once, "Oh, Wayne, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I will believe, and I'm sure we'll all end up at the same place." Sadly, this is a fanciful and whimsical thought. There is a standard to heaven, and it's not my purity, but God's. 1 John 8 says this, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." He is the one who can present us blameless before God in heaven. Confess your sin. Repent. What else then? He talked about self-control, and again, another sore subject. Because you may not know, but Felix married on more than one occasion, and Drusilla was married at the time. She was married to a king of the name of Azizus, king of Emesa. And so they were living an adulterous affair, showing a lack of control when it concerns their sexuality, their lust. And this behavior is much in keeping with today, isn't it? Let's do whatever we want. We're two consenting adults. a free-for-all, a race to the bottom. There is no restraint. There is no self-control today. And maybe again, this offends you. But thirdly, and again, ironically, Paul spoke about the judgment to come. Do you see the irony? Here is Paul waiting for justice. Did Felix expect to be waiting as well? Do you think he realized that judgment was around the corner for him? Maybe Paul repeated words that he uttered in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. It's worth turning a few pages back. Acts 17, verse 30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Paul says in other places, in other letters, about the judgment that awaits us all. Maybe he would have referred to this passage in Deuteronomy 32. You may recognize this as a song. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and justice is he. A nice song, don't you think? The passage continues and speaks of what terror his enemies would face if God would not relent. For a fire will be kindled by my wrath, one that burns down to the realm of the dead below. It will devour the earth and its harvests and set afire the foundations of the mountains. Terrifying. No wonder Felix in verse 25 says that he was afraid and says, that's enough for now. Felix is not just disturbed, he is petrified. The realities of what Paul was saying hit home. I pray that it will hit home tonight for you, for me. Paul had been able to pinpoint Felix's weaknesses, his sin. God's word had convicted him, and he stood condemned. But alas, he delayed. And what he does in verse 27 is he hands Paul, this evangelist, to someone else. He's literally passing the buck. You know, the Six Nations will soon be upon us. And I'm sure that I'll be watching Wales play and I'll be shouting at the screen, hospital pass, hospital pass. There's nothing worse in rugby than a hospital pass. When you're in trouble, that you would panic and fling the ball anywhere, instead of securing the ball, looking after it, dealing with it. Please, folks, do not do a hospital pass tonight. Don't fob this off. Don't wait until there's a more convenient time. Deal with God tonight. Repent. If you are here tonight out of curiosity, maybe a sense of duty, looking at the children, maybe you've come because your parents have brought you. Whatever the reason, we must all do something tonight to avoid God's holy justice and this judgment to come. repent and believe. We sang, thank you, Liz, we sang, turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embraced. There the Son of God gave his life for us and our measureless debt was erased. Before we sing, help us, I pray we'd not be like Felix. What a poor example he was. But help us to be like Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, as I would say in Welsh. He knew his sin, stood condemned, and he repented. He gave his possessions back fourfold. And he said, Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Amen. Heavenly Father, please bless our last hymn, and I pray if anyone is out of the kingdom tonight, may they repent and believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you would hear our prayer and forgive us. Help us tonight to leave here changed, repenting of our sin and believing and following after the one who is righteous. In Jesus' name, amen.